to Strictly Business, Variety's weekly podcast featuring conversations with industry leaders about the business of media and entertainment. I'm Cynthia Littleton, co-editor-in-chief of Variety. Today, my guest is Jim Lanzone, CEO of Tinder. Tinder is one of the internet's most recognizable brands. It's the juggernaut of online dating services and one of the highest-grossing non-gaming apps in the world. But Tinder has largely been a one-dimensional experience on the platform until Lanzone arrived last year. He spent the previous decade leading CBS Interactive during the great disruption brought on by the dawn of streaming. He led the pioneering launch of the CBS All Access subscription service in 2014. When he arrived at Tinder, Lanzone realized that content and video-based connection tools would be key to growing the service's user base. Its Gen Z consumers have told them that they want more immersive experiences. So Tinder is rolling out a host of video-based bells and whistles. That list includes the Choose Your Own Adventure TV series, dubbed Swipe Night, and new tools that allow individuals and small groups to gather around movies and TV shows and other forms of content. Tinder, which turns 10 next year, also has a growing profile on TV, including a partnership with the Australian edition of the reality series Love Island. In our conversation, Lanzone offers his thoughts on how the Tinder brand has thrived as a digital native, and he weighs in on the state of play in the streaming wars from his new perch as a well-informed consumer. That's all coming up after this break.
When it comes to ensuring your company has top-notch security practices, things can get complicated fast. Vanta automates compliance for ISO 27001 SOC 2 and more, saving you time and money. Unify your security program management and streamline security reviews with AI-powered security questionnaires. Over 7,000 global companies like Atlassian, FlowHealth, and Quora use Vanta to build trust and improve security in real time. Access Vanta's free suite of resources to scale your governance, risk, and compliance program at vanta.com/special. That's vanta.com/special.
Check the backseat. Check the backseat.
All right, come here.
Check the backseat.
Gets in your head, right? Good. Because every year, dozens of children are forgotten in the backseat of a car by a parent or caregiver. All never thought it could happen to them. But with changes in routines, distractions, or a sleeping child, it can happen to anyone. Parked cars get hot, fast, and can be deadly. So get it in your head.
Check the backseat.
A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
Welcome back to Strictly Business.
Jim Lanzone, CEO of Tinder. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Good to be here, Cynthia.
So, Jim, you spent almost 10 years deep in the world of traditional media in CBS, and you were one of the people that brought CBS into the 21st century with the launch of, I will say it, the industry's first mainstream subscription streaming service to take mainstream television assets like CBS, it doesn't get more mainstream TV than that, into the online OTT direct-to-consumer world, all the buzzwords that everybody's talking about now, you were tackling almost 10 years ago with CBS with the very successful launch of CBS All Access, which has now morphed into Paramount Plus and is now pretty much the centerpiece of the entire Viacom CBS's future growth plan. So, you know, quite a foundation that you helped launch. But almost a year ago now, you left CBS and back to venture capital world and the world of entrepreneurialism. And as in that journey, you wound up at Tinder. How did all the experience of the previous 10 years inform how you laid out a plan for Tinder?
Yeah. Well, look, I my whole career, even going back before CBS, has been internet products. And I spent almost a decade in search and navigation. And then my startup Clicker that we sold to CBS was, you know, a next generation TV guide meets search engine.
Mm-hmm. That's how you got there.
At the very beginning of streaming. And, you know, and CBS, you know, what I really ran was CBS Interactive, which had all these different divisions and 30 plus brands across entertainment, sports, news, tech, gaming. So what I really love to do is internet products. And, you know, when the opportunity to move to Tinder came up, it's one of these iconic brands. It's probably one of the most iconic brands in internet history. And the chance to take what they had built in this space and really, you know, blow it out over the next, you know, generation of what that brand could become, I just thought was an incredible opportunity. And in my mind, it was, you know, Tinder had really redefined the category of how to meet somebody online. But with that brand, like with, you know, several internet brands, it starts as one thing, but it could become a platform if you start to kind of break it apart and think about all the different ways you could take that brand. And so that was about a year ago that I joined now. And, you know, we could talk about all the ways we're going to take it. But about a month ago, we had, you know, I would say is my first major product launch since I joined. Mm-hmm. One of the biggest things that we launched was video, which hadn't existed on the platform before. So Tinder members are now able to upload videos of themselves and show off more about themselves, express themselves differently. I should say at this point that, you know, more than half of our audience is Gen Z. Mm-hmm. And so it's very much meeting them where they are and how they want to express themselves. But we also announced what we're calling the Explore tab, which is going to be an area of Tinder where you could do all kinds of things from experiencing a piece of media with another person or with groups of people, you know, to all these different ways now that you can discover people within Tinder. And so that is a huge new opportunity for us down a more multi-dimensional or multimedia pathway. And we're just getting started with that.
Okay, now I have to ask you, the idea of people uploading video to Tinder,
yeah.
You must have some content guidelines. Are there specific maybe parts of the body that you don't want them to upload?
Yeah. Yeah, well, look, I mean, especially for Gen Xers and people, you know, kind of came to the Tinder brand a while ago. You know, the thing is, at this point, Tinder is number one in over 110 countries. It is the number one grossing app in the world for non-gaming apps. And it's much more than, you know, people upload photos of themselves or videos of themselves now in order to help meet the right person. Now, we're not judgmental about that. Could be it, that might, you know, be one date and it may be getting married. I mean, there are stats that basically show that Tinder is the number one source of marriage in the United States. And everything in between, you know, we facilitate that. What we're great at is the matching, right? Is bringing two people together. A lot of cases, people who didn't, you wouldn't have normally met or you wouldn't expect to be attracted to. And so, you know, their incentive is to upload something about themselves that shows them off, them rock climbing, them at a 49ers game, you know, them with their dog. A photo is pretty one-dimensional for that. And a video, again, especially for Gen Z, which lives in forms of social media entirely in video,
right?
It's a more natural way to express themselves.
Mm-hmm. But I have to ask, I mean, do you have guidelines there?
Oh, yeah. So we have three main product groups. The one of those is trust and safety. And so on a global basis, whether it's fighting spam or fraud, you know, content moderation, those are all things that we cover. It's not just images. It could also be somebody saying something you don't like. Mm-hmm. All kinds of AI that's in there that alerts you and says, you know, did this offend you? Or we actually now, and we just launched this in the first half of the year, we have something that intercepts somebody and says, are you sure? Like, meaning, are you sure you want to send that? Because we can actually sniff out that it might be offensive.
And that's purely AI?
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty amazing.
That part. I mean, we have a huge team behind it, obviously, both on product and on member experience, like, you know, working with people on that. But But yeah, look, there's no company in this space that puts more resources or technology or manpower or people power into moderation and, you know, in addition to safety. And so that is part and parcel of how we do this. It's also one reason why we launched in English speaking countries first, because that's where those technologies are the most developed. And then we'll roll them out around the world, you know, as we go. We're in 190 countries.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. That's a wide footprint, a wide footprint of bringing people together.
A lot of languages to deal with. Uh-huh. Yep.
And I know that, you know, from our conversations, I know that in addition, you know, you've added video for people, the people on the site can communicate through video now. But I know you have also some ambitions in the television era. You have ambitions for video for Tinder that are in the, you know, beyond the individual user video.
It's been one of the richest areas for innovation for us. And I think something that, you know, we now have a multi-year roadmap ahead of us on things that we could do. You know, look, one thing that people want to do is more ways to express themselves on Tinder. Another thing is they want more ways to navigate. So rather than just, you know, leaning back and letting us do the matching with our algorithms and our product, people want to lean forward and actually choose some of the pathways. So we're launching many different ways to navigate. So you can just look at thrill seekers or people who have pets and just navigate that way. But the more robust version of this is they want experiences within Tinder that they can participate in as a way of meeting people, which really, if you think about it, mirrors real life, right? No matter how you met somebody in real life, whether it was at a bar or at school, you then would go do things together. And this is how you would figure out, you know, whether you like somebody or what you had in common.
Right.
Those are all things that we can bring to the app itself. Not because we want to compete with entertainment. In fact, we want to partner with entertainment because our job is not to get attention, to monetize, you know, through advertising or to help you get followers or likes. Our job is to connect you with the right person. So there's all kinds of ways that we can partner with media partners to bring that into the app. And one thing that we did, and this actually predated me at first, and then we launched it again last October, was our own episodic, essentially television show, as you and I would think about it, streaming
right.
television show
right.
within Tinder. And it was a grand slam in terms of how many people participated and what it drove in terms of engagement. So it was called Swipe Night, and it was an event, multi-episodic over several weekends. And it was a choose your own adventure television show. You know, the one should come to mind for you is, you know, the Bandersnatch episode of Black Mirror.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. Where it was their choose your own adventure attempt at Netflix. Swipe Night was that within Tinder, except it was actually interactive physically, like with your finger, you were swiping through and you were choosing in the show what would happen next. So, you know, does somebody go downstairs? You know, does somebody actually, Rico Nasty was actually in it driving. It was an end of the world theme. There was a kind of like, this is the end with Seth Rogen, but you know, the world is kind of ending and you could get in the car.
Well timed for last year, I'm guessing. Yeah,
exactly. You could get in the car with Rico Nasty and go one way. You could save the dog. You know, there are all these different things you could do. And at the end, you would be dropped into, you'd be matched with people who had the same outcomes that you did and had made the same decisions that you did. And it drove a 26% increase in messages between people and matches. Mm-hmm. And we just won 4 Grand Prix awards at Cannes Lions just for that first attempt. So what we're announcing now here, this is the first time I'm talking about it, is we'll have season 2 of Swipe Night in the fall. It's going to have a really interesting theme and be even more interactive with some of the products that we've recently launched embedded into it.
But would you ever just do a flat out Tinder branded dating show or reality show?
I have no news to break on that, but I would say you never know.
But actually, in a serious sort of serious way, could there be, well, certainly there could be a downside to something like that. But at this point with an established brand, is that since it seems like such a natural, I got to believe that there somebody along the way has said, maybe that's not right for this brand. Is there, you know, because people tend to think of TV as the end all and be all, but maybe not.
We're approached weekly on this for the Tinder brand. So yeah, I think to your point, I mean, I think it's an iconic brand. It definitely has some edge. And it also is the number one way people meet for relationships, in over 100 countries. So I think that's why they're coming our way. And, you know, I think I learned a long time ago, you also have to be careful who you partner with and not to just say yes to everything.
Yeah.
But I think if we go down that pathway, it'll have to be something pretty special.
It's interesting though, because you're at a company at a place in its history where, you know, a startup would be dying for any kind of exposure, but you don't need that exposure. So it is an interesting, and just the technology leap, you know, moves ahead leaps and bounds. You can look at media, you know, how media can help Tinder in very creative ways that don't have to fit into the box of a half hour show or an hour long show. That must be kind of exciting, especially since you have the background to really know what's possible at the high end of production versus what the cutting edge tools you have to work with.
Yeah. And it was, again, part of what attracted me to the company. And I think once you have attention at this level and a brand that's this good, there's just so much history has proven there's so much you can do with a brand like that online. So, you know, again, we're just getting started in many ways. And by the way, I mean, we're still just coming out of COVID. I started here a year ago. I still have not had a full workday in the office. This has still been all over Zoom. So we're cranking relative to all that. But there's a lot more to come, especially in this notion of multimedia and kind of, you know, what we internally we have called Tinder 3D. Just a much more multidimensional version of Tinder, which also allow people to express themselves, you know, that way.
Mm-hmm. What is the basic kind of ballpark figure for the platform, the number of, you know, monthly or annual users that you have?
They don't historically give the, you know, what we think of as DAO or MAU in online consumer internet. So meaning monthly active users and things like that. Those are all private numbers. And we have over 7 million subscribers who are, you know, very similar again to my background in the streaming industry. It's a freemium product. A lot of people use it for free. A certain number of people pay for extra features and extra access. But we have some incredible broad stats. Like for example, the majority of days last year, each had over 3 billion swipes per day. We had our first 3 billion swipe day in March of last year, and then we had over 120 more during the year, over 3.5 billion. Tinder has had over 5 trillion swipes since inception in 2012. It's pretty huge. We've had over 65 billion matches of people. Again, I think sometimes the one that blows people away is Tinder's the number one grossing non-gaming, but you know, that's how they kind of break out the category app in the world. And if you think about it, above food and shelter, you know, human connection and bringing people together for relationships is probably the next level thing on human needs. And so that's why I just think it's so big and why people pay a lot of attention to it as a category.
Outside of the subscription fees, what drives that revenue? Is it partnerships? Because you traditional advertising.
We do have a little bit of advertising, not a huge amount on the free product. So the subscription product, which again is global, there are three levels of it. Again, something you're familiar with from OTT services. And that's the vast majority of our revenue. The rest of it is people paying for individual activities to be able to see more in the service or be promoted ahead of other people in line, kind of, you know, within the service. And you can pay individually for that. And that differs by region. So you'll see more of that in Asia, which is our number one growth area right now. Versus the subscription service in more mature markets. But it's actually a pretty simple revenue model. And that's why, you know, the methods of growth, which is always the mission statement really for any CEO is growth at the end of the day, you know, happens on delivering a better consumer experience.
Do you see any more, like, you know, kind of more mass marketing or even more of an image campaign or a brand messaging campaign? Do you feel like the brand is at that stage, or do you like being still more of a word of mouth and a, you know, internet traction type of a place?
Yeah, it's hard to see Tinder being a classic, you know, like a Super Bowl ad kind of a marketer, right? And that said, you know, we already are really good partners with TikTok and Snap and Instagram and others. And as you know, YouTube, and as you know, that's every bit as important now, especially for the generation that we're targeting. So I think there's a lot of ways that we can be creative, and, you know, we already are with things like the Love Island partnership and some other things that we've done. But it'll be interesting to see, like, the different ways that you could take the Tinder brand if you start to play offense, which I intend to.
Don't even think about swiping again. We'll be right back with more from Tinder CEO Jim Lanzone.
Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public. The list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Hey everyone, this is Molly and Matt, and we're the hosts of Grown Up Stuff How to Adult, a podcast from Ruby Studio and iHeart Podcasts.
It's a show dedicated to helping you figure out the trickiest parts of adulting.
Like how to start planning for retirement, creating a healthy skincare routine, understanding when and how much to tip someone, and so much more.
Here's a clip from an upcoming episode featuring the weekly home checks, Keyshawn Lane, that you won't want to miss.
A common mistake that a lot of people do, they use fabric softener when it's not so great for your clothes.
Should we never be using fabric softener?
No, you should not ever be using fabric softener.
Wow.
It leaves a deposit on our clothes, which is also left in the machine. And it also makes the clothes highly flammable.
Wait, what?
Yes. What you want to do instead is just use a quarter cup of vinegar.
And that'll make them softer?
That'll make them softer. And if you wanted some kind of scent, you can use essential oils.
Wow, wow, wow. Catch new episodes of Grown Up Stuff How to Adult every other Tuesday on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Grown Up
Stuff. Hey, it's Zuko and Kayla from The Wake Up Call. Enjoy your podcast, but when you're done, don't forget about us. We have a radio show. We try to bring a smile to your face every morning.
We also talk to some of the hottest country stars of today, and we like to share some good news with That's What I Like.
Because Lord knows that's hard to find. When you're done podcasting your podcast, listen to us at 92.3 WCOL.
Set your preset on your radio right now, and don't forget you can listen to us online on the iHeartRadio app.
And we're back with Tinder CEO Jim Lanzone.
Tinder is, as I understand, kind of the cornerstone of a large publicly traded digital company called Match Group. Can you talk about sort of how the ecosystem there and how Tinder fits in?
Yeah, for sure. So, and this goes back to my roots too, because a long time ago, I ran Ask Jeeves and Ask.com within IAC, which Barry Diller ran. So I worked for Barry for 3 years. And IAC, as you know, spins companies out. So they owned Expedia, it spun out Ticketmaster, and one of them was Match Group, which was, you know, bought by IAC years ago and incubated over a long period of time, became its own public company about 6 years ago. And Match Group is now a $45 billion market cap conglomerate, essentially, of mostly dating apps. With Tinder being the largest. They own others like Match.com, which was the original, but also Hinge, which is a really up-and-coming brand, which is great in the space. Plenty of Fish, OkCupid. So those are all under one roof. We also own ones in Japan and Europe and other places. One of the most interesting things is that you know, Match Group is now starting to branch out beyond what you would think of as dating. So we just... you know, a couple of months ago, closed on a deal for a company called HyperConnect, almost $2 billion that we spent on that company. They're based in Seoul, South Korea, and they're very deep into video live streaming. So between individuals or someone's, you know, broadcasting out themselves with products called Azar and Hakuna, which you probably haven't heard of, but they're huge in Asia and the Middle East. And so that's more what we call social discovery, where you're which is another trend among Gen Z of just meeting people digitally. And that really, really became a much bigger thing during COVID, where people were stuck at home, they were lonely, right. And just meeting people platonically online became a much bigger thing. Again, for Tinder, that's never going to be our objective. At Tinder, it's about meeting people with the spark, with the hope of something more. But we are seeing a lot of these apps, again, developing a new foothold with consumers down this pathway of social discovery. And I think that's something that Match Group itself is leaning into strongly.
To your point about, you know, there's food, shelter, and, you know, somebody to watch the baseball game with at night. Clearly, if there's a $45 billion market cap out there, then somebody wants to connect online.
Yep.
Do you see, you know, bringing in that a company with live with good live streaming technology, do you see some element of that potentially being added to Tinder down the road?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's one of the best things about the HyperConnect deal is it really, you know, if you run consumer internet products, the one thing that's always a bottleneck is just your resources and to build new things. It was true at CBS All Access. It's true for me at Tinder. I hear people at Google and Amazon complain about not having enough resources sometimes. And the HyperConnect team is beyond world-class with many different technologies. Streaming is one of them. VR and AR is one of them. They have a great avatar platform. There's a lot of things that we're going to be able to bring over to Tinder. So very excited about that. In fact, we were supposed, you know, COVID is again slowing down us all being able to be together in person, but that's coming out of COVID. That'll be one of the first things that we do.
Well, it sounds like you have no shortage of plans and additions and iterations of Tinder. Let me ask you though, if I could just ask you to step back a little bit, having been early into the space, and now that you're a little bit outside of the core of the television world, I'd love your perceptions on sort of how the streaming wars are shaping up, having been in that business, but now just a little bit arm's length. Has it given you perspective about, you know, do you think our media companies, you know, are they chasing reality? Is there enough audience and subscription revenue out there for the biggest players that have put their, you know, planted their flags now to prosper in this world? Or do you think we're going to see more consolidation and more bulking up? Or something different. I don't mean to make that an either or answer.
I'll work backwards. I do think more consolidation is likely. But that said, and we can use Paramount Plus and Viacom as an example of this, I think people tremendously underestimate the category. And for some reason, there's a lot of skies falling predictions about it that only a few people can win. I don't think it's infinite. You know, but there aren't that many people who spend as much money as Viacom CBS does. You know, again, I have no affiliation with the company anymore, but I just use them as one example. Who puts as much money into making as much content as they do per year? If it is good, if it's original, if it's scarce and only available on their platform, and that could be original scripted, unscripted, you know, NFL football, the Grammys, whatever it may be, you know, people are going to find it. And I think people still underestimate how big just CBS All Access was and how many people historically had subscribed. Now, keeping people subscribed, and again, we would think of them as going on pause. And any given day, the biggest source of new subscribers was old subscribers. People were always kind of coming back through the service. And the only thing that you need, and they've announced recently that they're going to make over 50, you know, original shows, and of course they're putting movies in the platform and others, is great content. And, you know, Netflix, I'm sure will have great quarters ahead, but just lost 400,000 subscribers in the quarter, despite how much money they're spending on content.
Right.
And at the end of the day, and this is why, you know, for me personally, it's probably a good time to move on, is I really believe at this point it's a content game. And you're, you know, the products have been built. You know, our first business plan for CBS All Access or at least the first pitch about it was in the fall of 2011. It took us three more years to get it approved and launched in October 2014. We definitely were ahead of our time. And I think probably could have been, there's probably more we could have done with it if we'd leaned in even harder during those 5 years before Disney and others launched. But at this point, those tracks are laid down and now it's about content, who makes the best content. And to me, that's still to be written. I mean, Disney's done a great job. I've been loving the Marvel shows. The Mandalorian was awesome. I almost cried when, spoiler alert, but when, you know, Luke came back in the last episode, Hulu's doing a great job with content. I mean, but at the same time, you know, this may resonate with you. I have a 6-hour flight on Sunday. There aren't that many shows I really want to go download to watch. It's like with all this money being spent, you still don't have that many great shows that are just being, demanding to be watched. And so I think in there is still an opportunity. It's not a product game, it's a content game, but that is still to be written, I think.
Thanks for listening to Variety's Strictly Business podcast. Please be sure to leave us a review at Apple Podcasts. We love to hear from listeners. And be sure to tune in next week for another episode of Strictly Business.
Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public. The list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Hey everyone, this is Molly and Matt, and we're the hosts of Grown Up Stuff How to Adult, a podcast from Ruby Studio and iHeart Podcasts.
It's a show dedicated to helping you figure out the trickiest parts of adulting.
Like how to start planning for retirement, creating a healthy skincare routine, understanding when and how much to tip someone, and so much more.
Let's learn about all of it and then some. Listen to Grown Up Stuff How to Adult on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Grown Up Stuff.
Grown Up Stuff.
It's the Breakfast Club,
the world's most dangerous morning show.
Hey! Angela Yee is kind of like the big sister that always pokes you in the forehead.
Ooh.
That's not how it goes?
That's not how anything goes.
Yemi's really like a robot. One of the best DJs ever.
Believe that!
Charlamagne is the wild card.
And I'm about to give somebody the credit they deserve for being stupid.
I know, that's right.
What is wrong with you?
Listen to the Breakfast Club weekday mornings from 6 to 10 on 106.7 The Beat, Columbus's real hip-hop and R&B.